Precious name, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the word of reconciliation in our hearts. Lord, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit, the teacher, Lord. And right now, Father, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit that would speak through me, Lord, as an oracle of God, that Jesus Christ would be glorified in everything that takes place in this classroom tonight, Lord. I thank you for all the laborers here tonight, Lord, that they'll be blessed in their deed, Lord God, and your word will never return unto them void in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, again, we have this worksheet called Sharing Jesus Effectively. And a couple weeks ago, we started going over this. And the first category was be willing to go. Like I shared 2 weeks ago, most people are willing, but they never go. And two-thirds of God's name is go. So we just have to not only be a hearer of the word, but a doer of that word. And Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20. It says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So again, he says, go. Number two, under the category A, it says, who should go? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. It says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So it says that we're ambassadors for Christ. That's what you and I are. We're ministers of reconciliation. Number three, it says, why is it necessary that we go? Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So in order for these people to get born again and get faith, they have to hear it, right? It says, how can they believe unless someone tell them? In Acts chapter 8, the eunuch was sitting in a desert reading Isaiah, and Philip was caught up by the Spirit, and he went up to the eunuch who was reading Isaiah, and he said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, how can I unless some man guide me? It's the same thing as Romans 10 here. Mm-hmm. See, no one had told him about it. He started reading about it. He started hearing about it by the Word of God. Faith came by hearing. And as you go in Acts 8, it says they went by some water, and he says, what does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said that you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I believe. And that was good enough, see? Mm-hmm. Good enough, believing and confessing that Jesus is Lord. That's all it takes to be saved. And that's what these people need to know. But how can they know unless we tell them? That's what it says in Romans 10 here. Number four there, it says, where should we go? Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him, and he returned, and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Okay, it does cost to serve God, doesn't it? For us. He told us to go. Yeah, it's a cost to come out here on Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday nights, Wednesday mornings. It costs. It costs time with your families, with your spouses. You have to count the cost. That's what ministry is. A lot of people think ministry is just a parade. I mean, it's, you know, we all day long. It's just great, you know. And it is good. But it's a lot of work, too. And a lot of people don't see that. This is work what you're doing. He tells us not to labor in vain. Labor means to work. So we're workers, right? We're working for God. We're laborers together with Christ. What do we tell them? It says in number 5 here. Again, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 9. He's given unto us a word of reconciliation. We commit that unto them. The Bible talks about Timothy. He has entrusted us with the word of God. Paul said, he's entrusted me to preach the gospel. He's committed the word to us as his people, as his children. He's given us that. God trusts us, praise God. He trusts us with the word of God. Because he knows the word never fails. And as long as we're walking in the word and talking the word, we're not going to fail. Amen? Amen? Number 6, it says, who has the ability to be effective? Acts 1, verse 8. Who has the ability to be effective? It says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Amen? Amen. Because we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, that power has come upon us. We shall be witnesses. And number 7, it says, why should we care? A lot of people don't care about anything but themselves, do they? Mm-hmm. Amen? We live in a selfish world, don't we? Yes. Very selfish. Me, me, me. What I can get, what I can take from other people, and I don't want to give nothing out. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That's why we should care. We should care because when we care for the people that aren't saved, God gives us wisdom. I want more wisdom, don't you? Mm-hmm. I want to be smarter today than I was yesterday. And I know by winning souls, the Lord gives you godly wisdom. I don't have any college degree or anything else, but I have godly wisdom. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God's ways are above our ways. You know, man's wisdom is foolishness unto God. So the wisdom of this world is foolishness unto God. But when we win souls, we have His wisdom, praise God. Amen? Category B, it says, realize your authority in Christ. A lot of Christians don't know their authority in Christ. But here again in the Word, it shows us where we can know that. Number 1, it says, remember, fear is of the devil. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. If you're a believer, that pertains to you. He has not given us a spirit of fear. Number 2, God has made you bold. He has made you bold. That's past tense. And see, you just have to receive that being a believer. Just walk in that. Walking in the Word again. Ephesians 3, verse 12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. That gives us a boldness. That faith that we have in God makes us bold. Faith we have in God makes us bold. And Proverbs 28, verse 1, talking about boldness. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So we have boldness, see? It says, in whom we have boldness. And here in Proverbs 28, 1, it says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Right now, that means. Number 3, it says, the anointing of God is upon you and me. Luke 4, verse 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Praise God. He has anointed you and I to preach the gospel. We just have to go, like it said in the first part. Be willing to go. He's anointed us. First John chapter 2, verse 27. Talks about the anointing here. Verse 27, and it says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things in his truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." See, the anointing teaches you. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Number 5 or 4, it says, "The greater one indwells in you." Again, we're talking about the authority now. 1 John 4:4. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Greater is he, Jesus, that's in you and I, than he that's in the world. Okay? Praise God. So we have the greater one living inside of us. He's greater than the devil. The love of God in you is greater than the hate that's in the world. And when you walk in that love, hate's got to flee. It's got to go. Because that's what the Word says. Praise God. The Word says, perfect love casts out all fear. Again, we're talking about our authority here. When we're walking in Jesus, when we're walking in perfect love, fear should be far from you. Amen? That's what Isaiah 54 says. Fear should be far from you. Number 5 here, it says, "You have his ability." Amen for that, huh? Turn to Philippians 4, verse 13. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." See, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We can't do anything in ourselves, can we?
No.
But we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Praise God for that. He's our strength.
That's right.
And if he's our strength, then we can do anything. Amen. That's what's so exciting about this. Just the ministry of the believer is to preach the Word, to share the good news. There's so much bad news in the world, isn't there? People need to hear some good news. They're looking for it. Yeah, amen. They're looking for good news every week. People, sometimes they walk right up to you and grab tracts out of your hands. "What do you have there?" they say. They're looking for something. They see the joy of the Lord as your strength. They see that. They want what you have. They've been drinking all day and they're miserable. They look at you and I haven't drank in 12 years. They look at me and they think I'm drunk because I'm happy. See, they got an artificial drunk, don't they? See, the devil perverts everything. He tries to, just like the homosexuals. They name them gay now. I've never seen one of those guys that look happy. Have you? I really haven't. Not one homosexual that really looks happy, and they call him gay. Glory to God. What a perversion of that word. Amen. That's right. It's a perversion of the word. That's the exact opposite of the word gay. It means joyful, happy, and they're miserable. And they put that title on them. That's how crazy the devil is. Okay, paragraph C, it says, "Realize the authority of God's word." In Isaiah chapter 55, see, a lot of Christians don't know what the word means, and they don't apply it to their lives. And if they only did that, they'd have victory in their life instead of defeat. Because this is victory here. The word always wins. Isaiah 55, verse 11. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." It shall prosper, it says. Wherever you send that word, tonight when you're talking to someone and they're listening to you, just know that it's prospering where God's sending it. You know where he's sending it? Right in here, in their heart. He's planting the seed in their heart. It says in 1 Corinthians, one plants, one waters, God gives the increase. He gives the increase. It's him doing it. But he needs someone to plant the seeds. And that's you and I. That's what he's called us to.
Yes.
Amen. But we have to know our authority. We have to realize the integrity of God's word here. Number two, Jeremiah 1:12. He says in the Bible, he confirms his word in the mouth of two or three witnesses. He establishes his word. So Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, "Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." Not I might hasten my word, or I think I might hasten my word. He says, I will hasten my word to perform it. That's again, it's a promise from God that he will do it. The word has the ability to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. That's the ability that God's word has. It's powerful. That's what the word says. For the word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word does. It discerns between the thoughts and intents of the heart. People don't want to hear what you have to say in their mind, see? But their spirit wants to hear it. And if you know what the word says, it won't return into God void. And you do what the Bible says, go into the world and preach the gospel, they're going to hear it. They're going to get saved. The word will divide the soul from the spirit, praise God. And it's happened. We've seen it before. People say, nah, their head says, no, I don't want to get saved. And then you just minister. Last Wednesday, I was ministering out on the street in North Minneapolis. I walked up to this one woman, started to share with her. And after I prayed with her, I found out that her son just murdered someone the day before. But when I first approached her, she didn't want nothing to do with me, really. She wasn't mean to me or anything. But I had to be led by the Spirit, see? I just loved on her. And I could tell she was really hurting. And I just asked her, I said, can I just pray with you? You look like you're really hurting. And she goes, oh, that's okay. And I just said, no, you don't have to pray here today. You know, but I want to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You might not be here tomorrow. And then I could see tears in her eyes. She goes, yeah, my son killed someone yesterday. And I ended up praying with her. She got born again. See, the word discerned between the spirit and the head. She knew what I was saying was true. Her head didn't want to receive it, but her heart did. She ended up praying with me, and praise God, we prayed for her son. I told her that Jesus loved her son, and he could save him too. She goes, I'm going to tell him that, she says. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what the word does, see? It's got its integrity. That's what the word is. 2 Corinthians 4:4. It's number four here. It says, the only reason a man rebels against God is because his understanding has been blinded by Satan. Okay, how does Satan blind our understanding? Well, one way he blinds our understanding is by religion. Amen? By religion.
That's right.
That's how he blinds their understanding. Because they go to church all their... I went to church for 25 years of my life. I was blinded to the things of God. The God of this world, Satan, blinded my mind, that I might not see the light of the glorious gospel and being saved. I was blinded, though I was a religious person. That's what the devil uses most in the world today, is religion. Especially in America. Very religious country we are. Oh, I go to church. I took communion 2 years ago. I went to church on Easter or Christmas. See, they think that's going to get them to heaven just by going to church. And I use an analogy out in the street. I just say, hey, if I walk into an automotive shop today and I walk through the door, I don't automatically become a mechanic because I walk through the door. And that's the same with the Christian. You don't automatically become a Christian because you walk through the door of a church. Amen? See, they need to hear things, bring them down in simple terms where they can understand what you're saying. Sometimes it's hard for some people to understand. So you have to bring it down to their terms. And that's a good analogy, isn't it? Very simple to see. And they go, oh, yeah. Because they just got done telling you they've been to church every week, they go to church. But that doesn't make them a Christian, does it? Just by going to church. Amen. They need to know that. See, you have to use analogies out on the street. But Satan, he blinds their minds. Just like he blinded my mind for 25 years. Psalms 119, verse 130. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Amen. It giveth understanding unto the simple, it says. Amen. The entrance of his word, the integrity of his word, gives light to those people, see? And light dispels darkness, doesn't it?
Amen.
That's right. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds, unless the light. Entrance of thy word giveth light. See, unless these people hear the word of God, they're not going to have light, are they?
No.
They're going to be in darkness.
That's right.
But when we shine the light, the word of God says the light of God shines out of our heart.
Hallelujah.
Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How do we get the light? I got the light by hearing what the word of God says. The word of God said, you must be born again. The word of God says, hey, these signs follow them that believe. Lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Cast out the devil, he'll obey. Speak with new tongues. That's what the word of God says. But I had to hear the word of God to get the light of it, to drive out that darkness that said, God doesn't heal today. Amen? God wants you poor. When the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospereth. I had to hear the light to drive out that negativism that the world ingrained in all of us when we're growing up. Because again, we're very religious. This country's religious. Number 5, Luke 24, verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? This is after Jesus rose from the dead. He's walking with two disciples. He's fellowshipping right with them. They didn't know at first, but their hearts, see inside, the Word. He's the Word of God. Jesus was the Word, wasn't he?
Right.
And it burned within them. They knew, man, there's something wrong, or something good here, you know? They didn't know what it was. Then they found out later what it was. It was the Word of God. Paragraph D, we have to bind the devil before we go out in witness. Matthew 12, verse 29. It says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And then he will. That's a promise. He will spoil the house. So we have to bind the devil before we go out. And God will keep him away from us. Matthew 18:18 and 19. It says, where two of you agree on earth as touching anything, whatsoever you bind on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. There's power in binding and loosing. Number 3, talk about loosing. Loose the ministering spirits. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Amen?
Amen.
Ministering spirits sent forth before us to soften the hearts of these hard people.
That's right.
Love softens people's hearts. Last Monday night I prayed with a young man. And again, you have to go by wisdom. I smelled alcohol all over his breath. He was an Indian man over in downtown. And he says, hey, can I have a quarter, he says to me, so I can catch the bus? Well, usually when I smell alcohol on somebody, I won't give him any money. Why should I give him? You know, you can buy a bottle of wine for 30 cents. But my heart said, give it to him. And I said, I'll give you this quarter, I said. I want you to make the bus. And I says, and I want to tell you something else. Jesus loves you. And I said, you know, he loves you so much that he died on the cross for you. And I just loved on this guy. He ended up praying with me. And I felt in my heart again, see, we have to go by the Spirit every time you're out there. I asked this guy, and I don't do this very often, I says, can I give you a hug? He says, yeah. And I put my arm around this Indian man, and he bawled in my arms. And this is what he was saying while I'm holding him. He says, boy, I sure appreciate the love that I feel coming out of you towards me.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. See, the ministering spirits went before me, prepared his heart, even though he was drinking. 10 years ago, I would have said, forget it, man. I don't have time to talk to a drunk. But I did. And God rewarded that, see? Again, it's walking in the Spirit. We have to walk by the Spirit. And he got saved, and I ended up getting his address and sent him a Bible. He wanted a Bible. He didn't have a Bible. And he appreciated me talking to him. Even though I say this a lot, I'll say it again. A lot of Christians don't appreciate what you're doing out there. They're jealous of you. They're mad at Living Word because they think we're just out there trying to add numbers to, hey, God is worried about the people. I'm just going out. You're going out doing what God told us to do. But I'm telling you the truth. People get mad because they're convicted themselves because they're not doing what God called all of us to do. And that's share the word. Amen? E, it says, expect results. This is one thing I've learned by being an effective witness. I always expect good things to happen when I go out there. When I first started ministering, I was a Baptist. Well, we used to talk before we go out there. I wonder if one person will get saved today. That was all we thought about. And hardly, I don't think anyone ever got saved. We went out calling on doors. And that was very discouraging. I wonder if one will get saved. We go out at this church and say, well, I wonder if we'll pray with 100 tonight. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. See, you have to have an expectancy.
Yes.
And even if you don't pray with 100, who cares? At least you have an expectancy.
Right.
You have something to shoot for. You have a goal. It says in Proverbs 28:19, it says, without a vision, my people perish. We have to have a vision. I expect my group to pray with 15 or 20 people tonight, no matter who I go out with. Doesn't matter who you go out with. The Holy Ghost is with you. He's the one who does the work. But have a vision for that. And if I prayed with one person, praise God. The Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents.
Right.
See, we can't lose at this.
Right.
We always win. Amen?
Amen?
Expect results. Acts 2, or Mark 16, excuse me, Mark 16. And again, when you expect this, it happens. Mark 16, 17 through 20. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Jeremiah 1:12 said, he hastens his word to perform it. Right here it says, he confirms his word with signs following. Praise God. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen? Praise God. Acts 4:4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word, and believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. I bet you they expected results that day they went out. Amen? They probably expected at least 5,000. But God probably gave more above all they asked or thought, according to the power that works in them. It's exciting to have an expectancy. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 6 through 9. Thank you, Lord. It says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that watereth are one. Every one of us, we're in unity tonight.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen? It says we're one. One plants, one waters. And every man shall receive his own reward. Yes, there are rewards. to leading people to Jesus Christ. Amen. There's rewards to this. According to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. That's you and I. In unity. We have to walk together agreed. Amen?
Yes.
It says, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? If you go out there tonight and you're in disagreement with your group, it's not going to work. You have to walk together agreed. You have to. We got three here. He sent us out three by three. Sometimes we do go by two when we don't have enough people. But that, you know, it's not really good to go out by yourself. I used to do it. Praise God, his angels were encamped round about me, protecting me in all my ways. But there's power when you have one or two more, if you have two people there, at least two, and there's really a lot of power when you have three people in a group. Amen? Amen? When you're in perfect unity, there's a corporate anointing there that engulfs these people. We've prayed with people on the streets in the past. They said, I don't know what happened. I couldn't even move when you guys walked up to me. Some people, you walk up to them as a group and they start crying. It's the anointing. It's just the presence of God. See, the presence of God is on you and I. Isaiah chapter 61. This isn't in the handout sheet, but I'll read this. Isaiah 60 verse 1. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. See, the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Why is it? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Yes. Praise God. That's what unity does. It brings the glory, the corporate anointing. And it says, multitudes will be converted unto him, praise God, by walking in that unity, by walking in the glory. Hallelujah. Pretty good outline, isn't it? Very simple. We have a sample approach. Does anybody have a track tonight? Thanks. Maybe we'll have a demonstration tonight. Jerry and Greg, why don't you come up here? Two Jerrys, and why don't you come up with Greg here? Okay? Huh? No, both of you. All three of you. So you just walk up to... Who's going to witness? Greg's going to witness?
Sure.
And who's going to... You're going to be with him. Who wants to get saved? Jerry needs to get saved. Denise, why don't you get up there too?
Come on.
Now, this is a sample approach. This is how we do it here. It's very effective. And Greg will just lead here.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Have you heard the good news about the new birth?
No, I don't think so.
Well, what does this mean? Know for sure beyond the shadow of a doubt that if anything was to happen to you tonight or any other night, that you'd spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. Do you know that for sure?
No, I sure don't.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Yep.
Well, you know that qualifies you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because I'm just going to show you in here what his word says. Okay?
Sure.
What's your first name?
Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. My name's Greg.
Good to meet you, Greg.
Right here in 1 John 5, 12 and 13, it says, he that has the Son of God has life right now, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you, Jerry, that believe on the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. See right there, it says, know, Jerry.
Yeah.
Then down in Romans 10, 9, it tells us very simply, that if you will confess with your mouth, Jerry, that Jesus is your Lord, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. Not might be, not hope so, but will be saved, Jerry. Now, is there really any reason why you just couldn't say a short little prayer with me tonight? And I guarantee you, if you mean it with your heart, it'll change your life.
No, that sounds good to me.
Sounds good, doesn't
yeah,
it? You
sure.
bet. Well, I'm just going to say a prayer, and I want you to repeat it after me, but I want you to think about the words you're saying, and I want you to say them to God. Okay, Jerry? Just say
okay.
this. Just say, God in heaven.
I come to you. In the name of your Son.
The Lord Jesus Christ. I know I haven't lived my life for Him. But I'm so very glad I can change that. Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Make yourself real to me. I confess you as my Lord.
And my Savior.
Take control of my life.
Keep me from evil.
Make me the kind of person.
That you want me to be.
Thank you, Jesus.
For saving me.
I'm now born again.
Heaven is my home.
Not because I've earned it.
But because Jesus is my Lord.
That's right. Jerry, welcome to the family.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys.
Where was that, Brother Jerry?
So that's how simple it is. And after you pray with them, we have a brochure called Now That You've Been Born Again. And one of the other two people in the group will hand that brochure to the person that got saved. And that it just encourages them to read the Bible, pray, and find a good Bible believing church. Tell them how important it is to read the Word, like after Greg prayed with Jerry, to go on and just tell them important, how it is, you know, to read the Word or whatever. It's very simple, and it changes lives. Just like it changed your life when you said that prayer, believe in your heart, you believe in your heart. The Bible says if they confess with their mouth, believe in their heart, they shall be saved. When you pray with these people, believe in your heart that they mean it from their heart.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Let's believe tonight.
Right.
I'm going to believe that tonight. Every person I pray with, I'm going to believe in my heart that they meant that with their heart, and they are saved, praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But that's exciting. That's the good news, the new birth. The Bible says put off the old, put on the new.
Yes.
Every one of us. We have to die to ourselves, don't we?
That's right.
And you're putting off the old by coming out here, by being a minister. You're putting that flesh down. No matter how your flesh reacts, I don't want to go. I really am tired tonight. I didn't sleep last night. I'm not going to go. Just say, flesh, I put you down. I'm going to go out tonight. I'm going to win souls, and I'll come home and I'll have the best night's sleep I've ever had.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah.
It always works. God rewards those that diligently seek Him. Amen.